Hey guys, I'm Cassim.
And I'm Fiona Nova.
And you're listening to the Cream Team Dream Stream, sponsored by the fine folks at HeartAudioCables.com.
Use code KWIO at checkout at HeartAudioCables.com to get 15% off your entire order.
That's right. And we're also available wherever you listen to your podcasts, including Apple and Spotify.
Thanks for listening.
Great work.
Hell yeah.
That made me come.
All right, Cass, we are live.
Are we recording?
We are, in fact, recording now that I've stopped playing Buck Cherry.
Dude, hell yeah. Welcome to the Cream Team Dream Stream. We are 66.67% of it. I'm Cassim. That's Case.
Hello.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Top of the week to you. Happy Monday. Happy Earth Day.
Ooh.
To you all. You're basically looking at me wearing my green to represent Mother Earth, and I just want to let you guys know that I did not run my sprinklers last night.
Because today is for the Gaias.
This rest for the Gaias. Good morning, Case. Sorry, guys, we had a little bit of technical difficulties. As you can see, our better halves have pushed us out of the computer rooms, and now we are both relegated to different portions of our homes. And
Kendall and I stayed out till 3 a.m. at the bar, weirdly both sober, and we got home late, so our wives banished us to the secondary podcast room. We had to sleep in the other podcast room, which for me is the outdoors.
Luckily I got a roof over my head last night, but today we are both here to do this podcast for you. We still have the ability to show media and things like this, correct?
Yeah, well, yes, we do. It'll look a little crappy, but we're good.
I mean, that's on brand for our podcast.
For sure.
Obviously, the podcast is brought to you by HeartAudioCables.com. Save yourself 15% on your first purchase by using the promo code QWIO, K-W-I-O, on your first purchase. There's a fantastic website there with a bunch of really high-end audio cables. It's run by a member of the Cream Team. This is like within the family type stuff, and we look out for family. Also, there is a t-shirt you can get. It's a Heart Audio Cable X Cream Team t-shirt with the Cream Team logo designed by Klob, and so it's there. And they keep this ship sailing week to week.
And if we sound bad today, it's because I'm not using Heart Audio products. I had to panic and use my incredibly crappy iPhone headphone mic. So this is why you need Heart Audio to not sound like this.
That's right. This is an indictment on Apple products, because I'm also using my AirPods, and I'm sure the audio quality is not great. I'm thinking next week we do an in-person, maybe on a Tuesday instead of next Monday. So heads up, a little housekeeping, a little reorg on the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Tuesday. Maybe me and you, we could head down, do a mobile, like how we used to go down to the beach.
Oh, I'm so
maybe
down.
Get some like real greasy tacos.
Maybe we hit up a friend. If Fiona's not in town, we bring in another one of the boys.
but we put a Fiona mask on them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and we tell them they're an honorary lesbian for a day.
That's right. If Kevin was in, guys, we would get Kevin. He's not. All right. He's not.
He's dead.
Reminder that it's crazy because he called me yesterday. I wonder if it was from the grave.
It's his AI. He left some AI breadcrumbs to keep his presence felt.
Dude, what a
you could
fun
really
mystery
do that, man.
That would
you
be.
Could record a bunch of, you don't even have to do it yourself. You could just trigger a bunch of messages to get auto generated by 11 labs.
He already has created a AI version of himself sitting in his RV, and it looks just like him, obviously, and it talks just like him.
Perfect.
So technically, he doesn't need to work ever again.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be fun if that was like a new way to retire? All you got to do is set up your AI version of yourself and just let it run.
We can get a Kevin podcast and an Olivia AI, and then G4 is back. Classic G4 is back. You just stick them behind an AI-generated podium.
It's somehow that would probably be more successful, right?
It might do better on Twitch. Unfortunately, it might do better on Twitch.
As we celebrate Earth Day, I've got some Earth Day facts for you. I've got 10 surprising facts about Earth Day, because to be honest, I know nothing about Earth Day, and I'm going to have to assume most of you don't know anything about Earth Day.
Look at this photo.
And so I thought, it's very Fallout-y. I know we've both been playing a lot of Fallout.
Yeah, Cass and I are taking Fallout from different ends. We're Eiffel Towering Fallout.
Just to wrap up Fallout, I'm really enjoying it. If you guys are done with the show and you want something to fill that Fallout hole, check out our streams during the week. We're playing, Casey's playing Fallout 4. I'm playing New Vegas. I'll eventually make my way to 4, and you'll eventually make your way to New Vegas.
Yeah. Yeah, I really liked the show, but I didn't think I'd like it so much that it would immediately make me want to play the game. But it still burrowed itself deep in my brain, apparently, and I couldn't help it.
Yeah, same. It's I saw that sales were up 7,500% for Fallout games post the show. So,
I guess it did good. It did good for itself, kid.
All right. I'm going to give you some facts. To be honest, Earth Day kind of bores me, and maybe that's the problem. I don't know if I can do 10 full facts about Earth Day, because we've got a lot of news. We've also got the Deadpool Wolverine trailer to react to.
Right.
I'm going to give you some crispy facts about Mother Gaia. Earth Day was created by a senator. The reason I like this factoid is because the name of that senator, Gaylord Nelson, a Democratic senator from Wisconsin, was growing increasingly concerned over the state of the U.S. environment in the 1960s after a massive oil spill in Santa Barbara in 1969. He had the idea to launch a nationwide environmentally focused teach-in on college campuses, drawing inspiration from the anti-war movements against the Vietnam War occurring on campuses around the country. Dude was a hippie.
Wow.
Nelson recruited Dennis Hayes, a young activist, to help bring the idea to the public. This feels like one of those ideas that like happen once a week, you know, for some bored congressman, and then they can never get enough support to get the bill or the movement pushed forward, and then it just dies. But this one actually made it through. Good for him. Good for Gaylord.
A totally ceremonial holiday with a totally ceremonial start to it. That has anything you think like actually functionally useful ever come out of a teach-in? I feel like one of those phrases that is like makes people's whole body do like an eye roll.
Can you tell me what a teach-in is?
Isn't it just where people get together and there's like a ton of lectures? Like, except maybe you're in the quad instead of in a lecture hall. Yeah, I'm not sure. I could be wrong.
Should be called a teach out in that case.
Teach off, dude. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, teach off.
A teach off? I would watch two teachers that have to compete to teach better.
Yeah. Loser dies on the quad, hung up and quartered. More than 20 million people participated in the first Earth Day.
Wow.
Really?
Sorry, this second fact really amuses me. The idea for Earth Day came after a series of environmental catastrophes. They're like, what a day for the Earth because of all those tornadoes and earthquakes that have been happening.
Yeah, it's sort of like, it's the equivalent of like when you check your bank account and you have $3 in it and you go like, where did all the money go? And then you have to put a stop payment on all your subscriptions monthly. You got to take a little look-see and try and come up with like, all right, I'm going to cancel this card. And I'm going to slowly add the things I actually need. That's how Earth Day happened.
I always assumed it was more of like an apology to the Earth. Like, I know we're fucking you up, but it's sort of like Black History Month. Like, we're giving you a day, even though we know we're not doing the best. But we do want to recognize that you're part of the team.
It's crazy we haven't given Earth 30 days. Yeah. We just gave Earth one day. That's crazy. I could do 30 days of Earth, right?
Which month has to lose? Which month has to lose their status in favor of Earth Month? If there's like an Irish History Month, then I, as a somewhat Irish guy, we can drop it.
You relinquish Irish History Month.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you guys do have just one day. Also,
yeah, it's all we deserve.
St. Patty's. Yeah, it'd be cool. I bet you we could get a month out of Earth Day if you could drink like you could on St. Patty's Day all month long.
If St. Patty's Day was a month, I think we would make the Fallout world within like 3 years.
That's right. Bombs would drop.
Vegas everywhere.
Okay, how about this? Earth Day went global in 1990. Millions of people participated in the first Earth Day movement, which led to the passage of key environmental laws, including the National Environmental Education Act, the Occupational Safety and Health Act, and the Clean Air Act in the U.S. later that year. Why do I feel like Trump undid all this in his first term?
Or is he's such a man of the people. This does feel like the kind of thing a Trump supporter would be like, fuck Earth Day, even though I'm not really sure why.
Yeah, I think like for some reason you just have to be sort of anti any government bill if you're a Republican. Yeah. You know, small government is sort of what they want. And also I do remember, because this next fact is the Paris Agreement opened for signature on Earth Day. Didn't we pull out of the Paris Agreement during Trump's tenure as president?
I believe we did.
Dude, this guy's he's done less for the earth than any other president. He's
done
more.
Well, if they wanted
him
to stay in, they should have called it like the Trump America We Did It Agreement. And then it could have been this exact same bill. He couldn't have said no.
He would stay in it if somehow he could get credit for saving the earth. You're right.
Someone
got to fool him.
I can't remember which podcast this was on, but they said that the way to solve Trump is to send him to president camp, where he gets his own White House, he gets his own cabinet, and he gets to walk around saying presidential things, but it's just a camp.
We could give him like 10 minutes on Fox News every morning.
Yeah. Just give him his own Fox News show camp, and he's at the White House, but he's not president. And I think he'd like that way more. I would like that more personally if I was in that situation.
Wasn't there a show on Comedy Central where there was a guy that just played Trump? Or was that George Bush? Or was that
Was Just Like Bush, which might have somehow had the involvement of the South Park guys, or maybe it was just after South Park.
The South Park guys, I think, did have some sort of connection there. Yes.
It didn't. It just was a little too. I remember watching it and being like, I appreciate what they're going for, but it's something too off-putting about the sitting president having their own zany cartoon.
It had like a cold, disconnected feel to it. I appreciated what they were doing. It just didn't land necessarily, but it was a good swing.
Yeah. It's sort of like the Josh Brolin Bush movie also has a little of that energy too. Where I don't know if we should be releasing the prestige film about Bush either while he's in office or like right after he got out of office.
Yeah, I think the only thing that really worked was Christian Bale as Dick Cheney, and that happened worked a decade or more after.
I also think Will Ferrell's one-man Broadway show as Bush also kind of worked.
Jesus,
I think Will
Christ.
Ferrell was kind of the only one who really did Bush justice, because it wasn't even that strong of an impression. He just was, he had the energy down.
He was a lovable fool.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's all the Earth Day facts. You guys, tomorrow, turn your sprinklers back on. I run the AC. Use your hairspray, hair dryers, do all that.
Today, it's just over. Just they had their day.
Yeah. Should we get to the Deadpool Wolverine? This trailer for the new Marvel movie, the only Marvel movie all year, is crushing. And it's all the internet can really talk about right now. Maybe we should watch it and give our thoughts, maybe do a little react since we're react boys right now.
Yeah, let's be react boys and react to this. Mm-hmm. Cass, so you're going to kind of have to just play it around when I play it.
Yeah, I'm listening to the Twitch stream.
Okay,
so
cool. All right.
I'll do that. Yeah.
Let's play away.
Okay. Look, there's a lot of little Easter eggs. I'm assuming it's done now because I'm watching it on Twitch and it's a little delayed, but
just wrapped.
Okay. First of all, I want to get your thoughts on it. I thought it was fantastic. I think this movie, even though it's rated R, will do $1 billion for Disney. It's going to ail a lot of the woes that they have. Mm. It was nice to see Pepito in there. I see you in the comments.
He looks good.
Dogpool. What were your thoughts? Have you seen the trailer yet? Was that your first time?
That was my first time.
Give me exactly what's going through your mind.
I was blown away by how much Deadpool with blonde hair looks like Robert Redford. For a second, I thought it was him. It's a real compliment to, why am I forgetting his name? Van Wilder's jawline.
Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, Ryan Reynolds. That he still looks kind of like a hot boy with a Deadpool cancer face. Yeah. Was that Lady Professor X?
Yeah, Cassandra Nova's, and there's probably folks that can really deep dive her, but she's sort of like an evil Professor X.
Okay, I like that. Yeah. You know, sometimes I get a little annoyed by Ryan Reynolds, but I guess in this role, it's his vibe is like pretty character appropriate because he's supposed to be very fourth wall breaking.
Yeah.
But it, I see the appeal. I love me some Hugh Jackman, especially when he's in serious grizzled Wolverine mode. And it looks like he's going full Logan, but for the purposes of pseudo comedic relief. So I don't know. I'm down. I'm down for it.
I'm very down there. Typically, I'm not the biggest fan of the Deadpool movies. I feel like when it comes to comedy, I've always really preferred like Thor Ragnarok. When it came to like comedic sensibility. However, I do think that this style and this movie is very much needed at this point, which is like a meta fourth wall break. Let's poke fun at Disney, Feige. Let's make jokes about cocaine. As a sort of like tentpole to rally around for everyone that's sort of sour on everything Marvel's done lately. This thing is going to unite. This is the most bipartisan piece of entertainment I think that's going to come out all year. I'm really interested to see sort of how it performs. I love all the little Easter eggs, like the Liefeld's feet, that's just feet, the store. I think you see Lady Deathstrike in there. I think there is going to be all kinds of things that set up the Secret Wars, which is supposed to be the sort of big reset where you're going to see a lot of old familiar faces come in from the Fox universe, maybe some old Marvel faces, and then maybe we'll introduce the new X-Men at that point. It seems like they've Disney and Marvel have set this up to be like the fulcrum in which the new era of Marvel sort of...
Is this rated R?
I think so.
It's just surprising that Disney would like base their franchise around an R-rated movie.
Yeah, I hear you. I think it's a bold move, but I think Disney's sort of like been pushed into having to do something a little bit more.
Their hand has been forced. Edgy. They have to do swears. No choice. The fate of our company rides on us saying fuck three times in this movie.
Yeah. And I honestly, it's good that they are, because if they were to get real sheepish about cusses at this point, I think it would only sort of piss people off. And Deadpool's going to be the rug in which we sweep all the other mid-Marvel movies underneath. You know,
it's a good way.
It's really important.
My only wish would be that it's so like unself-serious that it's more like a Naked Gun movie. Like, it's just barely a superhero movie, but I understand that they probably still need it to be a somewhat coherent action movie. So it looks like they're doing their due diligence.
I think what's really fun to see, what's fun about these Deadpool movies is how they walk that line and how they balance this is a very jokey, we're making references that technically our characters shouldn't know about, or like Deadpool could know about, but like, in front of other characters that have no idea, you know, it's like, how do they do that? And it turns out that they just do it and audiences eat it up. They lap this shit up. And I think that'll be the case here. I gotta be honest, I'm so tired of the phrase, let's fucking go. But for some reason, when Wolverine says it, it really works for me.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys feel the same way. I really like when Wolverine says, let's fucking go.
I also feel like Hugh Jackman might be at the perfect age to be Wolverine now. I don't know how old he is. I'm guessing in his 50s, but the vibe is right. Yeah. It's weird going back to that original Bryan Singer, RIP, rest in piss, Wolverine movie, or X-Men movie, because he really looks like baby Wolverine.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. He sort of really looks the part of the aged sort of, and I think his version of Wolverine, according to the trailer, at least what I'm alluding to, was like he somehow was the reason why all the other X-Men have died. And, you know, the sort of his character's arc in the movie is to just sort of like maybe redeem himself and save as many people as he can. It's going to be quite a challenge, but you saw a lot of cool stuff in it. I think it's going to be great. I'm guessing it's going to make $1 billion is my official.
Can they play it in China though? Are Wolverines allowed in China?
Ooh.
Does he count as a ghost?
I don't know.
Because he's immortal? Well, so
yeah, I don't know. I don't know what happens in China. It feels like if they're trying to make as much money as possible, they would want this to play in China. So
people are complaining that he's too tall, which is funny given that most actors are shockingly short when you meet them, that they did pick the one guy to be Wolverine forever that's like actually a tall actor.
Totally. I think one of the beauties of them sort of creating the multiverse and all this stuff is their ability to next Wolverine they have. Guess what? He's probably going to be a short king.
Timothy Chalamet.
And oh my God. What if it was a short twink?
It's going to be Gucci Wolverine. He's just like extremely decked out in, I don't know, scarves and shit. 90s Johnny Depp Wolverine.
Do I have Johnny Depp news in here? I feel like I might have put it in and then I took it out. But Johnny Depp's got some publicity because he's got a new movie coming out.
Well, Kevin Hart is Wolverine. Yeah, sorry to interrupt you, Cass, but I would absolutely be down for Kevin Hart as Wolverine. I don't know how that would work, but I do want to see whatever that is.
Yeah, anyone who's got a very specific thing that they do would love to see that specific thing as a Wolverine.
Yeah. Give everybody how it goes. So, like, I think every actor should get to be Batman once just to let them feel, you know, just to put on the suit and they get to feel special for a day.
Yeah, exactly. We didn't see his helmet, which I think they want to save for the movie as a reveal because that's going to be... That moment where he puts on the helmet will probably be like second to Cap wielding Mjolnir. I think it'll be a real big movie moment where you hear a bunch of fucking dorks, including myself, cheer in the audience. Mm-hmm. I think that'll be cool.
Suddenly it's way more like the air feels more wet. You're like, oh, what happened?
Yeah, yeah, everyone just like open their mouths. it'll be a cool moment in the theater. Yeah, otherwise, look. Ryan Reynolds put it on his own YouTube channel, which I thought was interesting.
Oh, that's fun.
He seems to put a, like, I don't know. I don't think we get any of this without Ryan Reynolds, like, really pushing the envelope when it comes to, like, what he's allowed to do, how he's allowed to market it.
Yeah.
I think Kevin Feige's a smart enough guy to be like, Ryan, you just kind of do what you want to do. And the song choice for the trailer was really good. The sort of, like, frenemies angle looks to be a lot of fun, them beating the shit out of each other because they both are like quick healers and they can so the fact that they probably get into like a bunch of different fights or just stab and shoot each other a bunch of times during the movie seems like a good mix.
Mint Mobile died so that Deadpool Wolverine could live.
That's right. All right, so that's Deadpool Wolverine. Can't wait to see it. Can I also since we're on movie news?
Yeah,
we'll skip this. We'll do Musk a little bit in a little bit. But I got some movie news here with the Blair Witch actors. We'll do Blair Witch, Tom Cruise, Scorsese's, and then I want to take you through a very fun thread I found on Reddit, which is celebrity actors, a specific style of photo shoot that I didn't really know existed with celebrity actors, but. But first, let's talk about the Blair Witch actors. They just announced a new Blair Witch movie is in the works. And obviously, I don't think that the original actors are involved in any way. And apparently, according to this article, they've got paid $300,000 for the first Blair Witch. And that was like the last time they got paid for any Blair Witch project. And so they're sort of publicly out there slamming... what is it, Lionsgate, or Lionsgate, about getting them involved and trying to use the cult status that they've developed to leverage their way into a new, in the new movie. And I think this is a great lesson for folks that are in Hollywood, which is like, sometimes you can't get that first thing done, but when you do, you sort of sign your life away and the rights of that IP away just so that movie becomes like distributed, which is kind of what happened, right? You were there when I remember waiting in line for the Blair Witch movie.
It came out when I was pretty young. Like I was still a teenager. But yeah, I mean, I saw it in theaters and I was young enough to get like extra freaked out by it. It was like this and The Ring that got me as a kid.
Yes. Cause they had the website. They had, I don't know if they were the first, but they had to be very close to one of the first marketing campaigns that utilized a website, and they played it like this is real found footage of folks. And I remember being young enough to where I was like, oh my God, I think this could be real. Because everything I saw looked like real footage.
Have you seen the movie more recently?
No, I don't think I've seen it in maybe 10 years.
When I was taking care of my dad in Virginia, I finally had like TV with like HBO and Cinemax again. And it was on randomly one night and I watched like an hour of it. It's not even much longer than an hour. And I was like, it's not that it's bad. I just was like, wow, I can't believe this is a thing that like captured my imagination and like kept me up at night when I was whatever 15 or 14 or whenever it came out, because it's like a very mild movie. It's not bad. It's just like, I don't know, it's not even like it's tamed with the years. I think it's just, it was in an interesting place where I guess we weren't used to seeing like found footage movies in theaters, so it felt really novel. Totally. But I'm not sure how well this one holds up.
Here's the thing is that, and I'm going to defend us a little bit, because found footage wasn't a thing really until this movie had come out. And since every other movie is a found footage movie, especially in the horror genre. And
they
so
shoot
like,
action scenes like they're found footage now.
Yeah. It's like 25 years later, of course, a rewatch of it is going to be like, huh? It's just essentially you're watching the like pre-concept first generation of a very fucked out genre that is now, but like back then that was the first thing. And so watching it was like, oh my God, like, is this a home movie? I remember thinking it was a home movie and maybe like three quarters in, I was like, oh, okay, this is just like a horror movie. I think I was that gullible when this thing came out. I must have been 16 or 15 or 16.
MSG and oh, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah.
MSG and chat's comparing it to Psycho. Although I would argue Psycho, even if it's not scary, holds up very well on like a emotional register and just a cinematic level. Whereas the Blair Witch Project,
Psycho's great.
The Blair Witch Project really feels like a bunch of college kids in the woods when I watch it now.
Yeah, and the amount of the money that movie made compared to how much it cost to make is like the golden goose that every studio is trying to chase. I think they hit it with Paranormal Activity that came out a few years later.
Which I did like. I liked that pretty well for like what it was.
Yeah, absolutely. That movie made what, $100 million when it came out? It cost less than 20 grand to make.
Yeah,
20 cents. It's not that I don't think these actors should be in the current one. It would be a really great move for them to hire them as consultants. And even if they don't want to put them in it, they could give them like little cameos here and there, but like it would go such a long way for the fan base. Yeah. But ultimately, this is a great lesson in, you know, well, like this is kind of what happens in Hollywood. Like you sign over your rights to get it distributed. It becomes potentially one out of 100 things becomes successful. And then I think it's really cool that they get to be a part of this history and lore, even if maybe they don't get to share the profits currently.
Yeah. Also, they did already make a sequel to this, and they made even another sequel that I remember better than the Blair Witch Project called The Bear Wench Project that used to play when I was a teenager on Cinemax.
That I do remember. Yes.
And it was like all of these porn stars, but they had to be it was like porn stars in a softcore horror movie. And that I remember watching it, A, because I was a horny kid, but B, it really was baffling. It was like they were trying to make it a horror movie just a little bit. So it was like they'd just be topless, but like hanging out with cultists. It was a straight. It's kind of a fever dream.
They used to put a lot of effort into softcore porn. Like, there was, like, Zalman King's Red Shoe Diaries. Like, mm-hmm. that had David Duchovny in it, lest we forget. Like, there was a lot of effort. The Emmanuel series. I mean, these things. Now it's just, like, going on xvideos.com and, like, probably trying to nut within 3 minutes. You know, it's like, yeah. Go to xvideos. What's on the front page? Let's go best videos. Let's see what's there. And then that's it. And then you've probably nutted within 90 seconds. There used to be like, oh, we got to wait until the third act of this Zalman King's episode to even get a chance to potentially nut.
Yeah. There was even I remember there was some like Planet of the Apes softcore movie. I wish I could remember the title because it was literally like Planet of the Apes plus tits. Was like the actual name of it.
That's a great title.
It was like girls in like monkey masks, but then they just had their boobs out. Those were the days. Yeah, so why don't you try going on xvideos and searching Emmanuel so you can be a real erotic being like Cass and I.
Yeah, that's right. Get on our level and then come on that level. All right, how about just some Scorsese DiCaprio news? Scorsese's been in the news lately because he's going to film two movies back to back. He's going to do a Jesus movie, potentially with Andrew Garfield. And he's also going to do a Frank Sinatra biopic with his muse, Leonardo DiCaprio. This is not the first time that Leonardo DiCaprio and Scorsese, or at least Scorsese's tried to make a Frank Sinatra movie. Mm. The first time he did, the Sinatra family sort of put a kibosh on it. They do not give Scorsese or did not give Scorsese their blessing because Scorsese wants to tell the story from, you know, like probably a more historically accurate point of view, which was Sinatra was like a philanderer and wanted to talk about and show the darker side of Frank Sinatra. And obviously the family wants to protect the image. But I don't understand if Scorsese wants to do a movie about your dad or your grandpa or your uncle or whatever, why you don't just go like, oh yeah, one of the greatest living directors ever wants to make a movie that will show things that people already know about Frank Sinatra, but like it's better this than giving it to Zack Snyder or somebody like
for
this.
Sure.
You know, like it seems like a gift, but I don't know how tightly you have to grasp onto this like image that you think you have or your pops.
Especially with Scorsese.
He's very publicly a cheater.
Yeah. Especially with Scorsese, like even if he shows you doing bad things, he's gonna like, you know, set it to a Rolling Stones song and make you look really cool while you're killing people or cheating on your wife or hanging out with a mob in Vegas or whatever the fuck Frank Sinatra is up to. So they should just let him, like if Jordan Belfort can get a career resurgence after Wolf of Wall Street, I'm sure Frank Sinatra's sales will go through the roof. We'll all be trying to play the latest Frank Sinatra video game after seeing this.
Yeah, exactly. You have to let Scorsese do his thing. He will make him look fucking cool because it's one thing that's undeniable. Sinatra was fucking cool. The only thing is like, I don't think DiCaprio needs to be the guy in every movie.
I don't think he makes a very good Frank Sinatra.
He doesn't. The only thing is that he has blue eyes. Like, unless he decides to lose a bunch of weight and maybe, I don't know if prosthetics would do it or not. It just would have to be one of those movies where we're suspending, like, disbelief about how that actor doesn't look like the character they're playing, like a la Nicole Kidman playing Lucille Ball. There would be, in my opinion, one of those things where we go, okay, as long as he sounds like him and has a swagger like him, that's all that really matters.
Yeah. I mean, it'll probably be, even though I don't like some of the modern Scorsese movies as much as some of the more classics, which could just be nostalgia. I think there's a certain level of quality that you usually get out of them. So I'll watch it.
Yep. I'm actually probably just as interested in the Andrew Garfield Jesus movie. We all know there's big money in Jesus movies. If Passion of the Christ is anything to compare to. I mean, it won't be his first Jesus movie either. He did last.
Wait, Andrew Garfield's been Jesus before?
No, I'm talking about Scorsese, sorry.
Oh, I see.
Scorsese did a Jesus movie already. Oh,
that makes more sense.
That makes a little bit more sense. Okay. Tom Cruise is a piece of shit dad, and then we'll end on this because I get to go on a tirade about Tom Cruise.
Oh, okay, I'm ready to hear this. Mr. Cruise? No, him? A bad dad? Tom? Wow, he's looking more
Tom
dad
Cruise
here than he usually lets himself
do. Bad dad. Recently, his daughter Suri turned 18.
Uh oh.
Okay. Turned 18. We forget that he has an 18-year-old, and I think he may even have some others with Nicole Kidman. This is a reminder for all of you that know I love shitting on Tom Cruise, and I like to make sure that everyone is reminded of how big a piece of shit he is. But his daughter turned 18. His daughter, who he's shut out of his life because she is no longer a part of Scientology, is turning 18. She looks just like her mom, by the way, which is a good thing. And
I'm looking her up, but it feels weirdly creepy to show these photos because 90% of them are of hers like a tiny kid.
it must be absolutely wild that your dad is Tom Cruise and everyone in the world mostly loves him. And then you've never gotten a chance to talk to him in 11 years since you left the church, which, by the way, must have been a traumatic event for you. Your mother whisking you away from a cult. Like, there's got to be a lot of damage that's done there that we don't really know about.
Yeah, it'd be weird to have such a famous deadbeat dad.
Yeah. And by the way, he's like, it's not just like you get a text from a friend, like, hey, I saw your dad at a bar. Like, no, you see your dad on every piece of social media, like jumping a motorcycle off a cliff.
Yep.
There is no more visible deadbeat father than Tom Cruise.
Getting like a standing ovation from a 100-person crew for hanging off an airplane. You're like, yeah, he doesn't even text me. He didn't even text me when I was in the hospital.
Yeah. This guy fucking sucks. And this is your daily reminder that he fucking sucks.
All right. But he's really good. He's got that classic movie star energy, so you know. I'm sorry, Cass. I do have to stay a huge fan. Huge fan.
Dude, he's the last movie star.
Do you think he can still leverage? Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No. What could he leverage?
Do you think Suri Cruise can still leverage her name to be like in movies if she wants to be? Or is she cut off? Like even from Hollywood?
This is a great question. Does Tom Cruise stifle her career if she wanted to become an actress? Does he have enough pull to keep her from getting jobs? Or are we going to accuse her of being a nepo baby either way?
Mm.
What a fantastic thought experiment.
That's the
I'd like to think she'd
like comeback yeah. story though. If you're a reverse nepo baby where like the nepotism is actually hurting you, your dad is actively trying to ruin your life and he's way bigger than you.
This is a fantastic idea for a reality series where we watch Suri, a woman of tremendous privilege, try and denounce her extremely famous father that most people love,
mm-hmm.
while also trying to realize her own dreams.
Yeah.
Really good.
Conveniently also being an actress.
Yeah. Like, there's no way she's going to get, like, an actual job. No. Not for her. That's not in the cards for her.
No.
Okay, one more. The Chris Pratt and his wife, the Schwarzenegger gal, tear down a mid-century masterpiece so they could build a McMansion or just a regular mansion on top of. Everyone, I have a couple thoughts about this. Okay, first of all, let's take a look here. Chris Pratt and Katherine Schwarzenegger torn down an iconic mid-century LA home so they could start building something different. I have two thoughts, okay? Part of me is like, that's a shame. You should, if you're going to buy the house, if you want to just completely revamp, just buy some land, buy something else. It doesn't have to be something that's got like real provenance. Mm-hmm. But also, it's their house. They can kind of do whatever. Architecture is just like whatever. Who knows what they want to? Maybe they want to build something even bigger and better. That's with like another renowned architect. Like at some point, how much can we actually care about this?
Yeah.
And other celebs have weighed in, including Elijah Wood, who tweeted a sad face emoji in response to this.
This is like, you know, when you hear about like Monet's being kept in like a private collection, it's just a problem so far outside of my purview that it's hard for me to get invested in architecture as like a method of personal expression. When if you get a famous architect to make your home, it's officially like $40 million instead of, you know, 10. It's like, I don't know. I'm sure it's great in there. I don't give a shit.
Yeah. It's also fun. It's like, I don't know anyone that's into architecture really, except like, when I read about what Brad Pitt does when he's not like abusing his children, he's just really into architecture. And I'm like, yeah. Cool. You kind of have to be really rich or just have a lot of free time to be into architecture.
It's like breeding
horses. Like to be into it.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's very expensive. Only a certain amount, a certain type of person can do it. You have to be within a certain pay bracket, like an income bracket to do it. And it's not something the rest of us can think about. Like, I look at my house and I go, like, I like that there's a window here.
Yeah.
And that's about it. That's about it. I go, that's a lot of light that comes in from there. That's cool.
Good.
And then I can't ever look at the rest of my house and be like, I'm gonna get rid of that. I don't have the time to do it. I don't have the money to do it. But I'm glad certain folks get upset by it. Have you ever visited like a Frank Lloyd Wright house, or like, have you done any of these?
You know, I actually
tours.
I have not ever done like an architectural tour. I did recently when I was buying furniture, go to a couple like designer furniture stores. Which was a mistake because all the couches were like $15,000.
Yeah, furniture.
And it did, that also turned me slightly off from the idea of like, I don't know, home decor as a deeply artistic expression. Even though some of the couches were nice, some of them were just futons that cost like $12,000. You'd be like, why? And they'd be like, well, that's Antonio Bagadio. You'd be like, oh, so because he put a cushion on a metal frame, it's $12,000.
Antonio Bagadio is known for putting a cushion on a metal frame. He was the first to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, before that, we were sitting on cinder blocks. And Antonio Bagadio is the father of cushion on metal frame. I do have a couple nice chairs that I do enjoy, but like, to be honest, they mean not a whole lot other than I enjoy the comfort of them. And I probably spent way too much on them when I was like, I'm going to get some nice chairs. They really like set the room off, and they don't, do anything. And all they do is like when the cat's on it, I go, don't stick your claws in that. I get just more
like,
worried about it than anything.
I think you have a very nice place though, Cass. Like I'm not against like making your living space very nice and livable. But you know, and I'm sure if I had like $100 million, I would get the nicest house that I could while still having some money left. But it's definitely like, it's a rich guy and gal thing for sure to care about these architectural marvels.
If we ever hit it big, I think that would be one of the first things I get into, right? Is architecture. I think there's something distinguished about it. I wouldn't be a cigar guy. I wouldn't be like a yacht guy.
Yeah.
I'm not a sculpture, or maybe I would do some paintings, but I think a nice mid-century home on a hill overlooking like either the ocean or a valley would be like over Mulholland would just be so cool. It really would.
I guess of the things rich guys can be into, maybe we should support it more because it's one of the less damaging. Like, it's way better than being into like very expensive massages, you know? Or like, I just love youthful photographs. So artistic versions of those are all over my house.
Yeah, you got to be careful with the youthful photographs. You get too many in a hard drive, the FBI is going to get involved. all right, well, congrats to Chris Pratt and Katherine Schwarzenegger for upsetting the rest of the Hollywood elite. This is Hollywood Elite on Hollywood Elite Crime, which is one of my favorites. And that essentially rounds out the pod for this week.
Yeah.
What do you think? Did we do an okay job?
I think we did great. Last thing about that house, I am blown away how much Chris Pratt and his wife look like a Facebook couple. Just like a couple that's doing well for themselves, but that you haven't talked to in years. And then they pop up on Facebook and you're like, oh, good for them.
Yeah. she does not strike me as a, I don't know. I don't like talking about people's looks, but she looks like just a very average person.
They don't look like aristocratic Hollywood elites, and yet they are. They're just like us.
They're just like us. He's into Jesus, just like me. I am interested to see what they build. I'm assuming that they just love the land, the neighborhood so much that they just needed to buy this house. But it's kind of a shame that they can't just like make do with, I don't know, 4,500 square feet and whatever else that's already there. And they've got to completely start from scratch. So it'll be fun. It'll be fun to see what they do. Sick. Full 0.5 mil.
Cass, you streaming more today? You done for the day?
I got to go shoot the new butt video. I'll be streaming most likely tomorrow, Fallout New Vegas. It's been real fun. The Cream Team's shown up in spades. Happy to have you guys there. I'll be here Wednesday for the Patreon, where we'll do another one of these, and we'll watch X-Men 97. And then Thursday and Friday, I will not be streaming.
Nice. I might stream later today if Kendall has more work, and thus we can't be a loving couple together. Then maybe I'll play some Fallout because I'm somewhat addicted to it. But also, I might not.
Same. Well, I may or I may not.
I may.
You guys will just have to follow to make sure. That's a pod. Thank you, Hard Audio Cables, for the sponsorship. As per usual, promo code QUIO. Get yourself the shirt. Save yourself 15%. Yeah. And Case is going to shout out all the sub-roonies and gifties and all that stuff right now before we end it.
Yeah, let me see.
Maybe you guys could recommend a trap beat or some sort of Let's see, what did we talk about that we could sort of weave in here? Let's see. Is there a Tom Cruise like
a pool trap beat?
Ooh, a pool trap beat.
What is it? Cool. I just like typing in weird words plus trap beat into YouTube, because there's always something. Tyga type beat pool party.
Shit. Ooh. Daedalus is Blair Witch beat, in case that doesn't pull up anything.
Damn. We can switch to, I don't know, this pool type beat is kind of getting me.
Yeah, this pool type beat
is sort of sending me. I have to do my kind of whisper rap because I'm outside.
Okay. I love my whisper rap.
Pool. We getting subs from my boy, Dr. Cool. Yeah. We know we going in. Dang it on Twitch, bringing the subs in. Big J-Dub showing me love, 100 bits. Uncle Phil 2K, 200 bits. Hype train, yeah, you know we dropping the shit. We going great, Tam Tram 48 with the shit. Stony 4-7 sending me straight to heaven. He's dropping one sub and that's 10 less than 11. We talking storm burn, that's a 92. 18 months, they've been coming right through. John Old with a follow, thank you much. Microphone at 107.50 bits and such. Dagging on Twitch, 15, big J-Dub 10. BJ Grandel, subbing my man. Send me to therapy, well I'll go tomorrow. Junk Dog, Gearless Jono, met with a sub. I thought it was a follow, but it was a sub. Reverie Wolf coming in because they're showing me love. We got Skymer with the easy 100 bits. Currently working, dropping this shit. That's 18 months of the subs, my God. And to Daddy is showing me love. 1 month tier one, that's 18 months. 5 community subs, he doesn't front. That's a big fuck ton, so thank you, son. B-Mop, 89 bits, we almost done. We got B-Mop trying to kill me as well. 1 bit to send me to hell and that'll send me home because we're done. That's a Cream Team stream and we rap, son, and we out. All right. That's it. That's all of them.
Hell yeah, dude.
If I missed any, I apologize. It's on a laptop and there's sun all over the computer, so it's hard to see.
Thanks for making, dude. Thanks, everyone, for showing up. We'll see you Wednesday for the Patreon and I'll see you tomorrow for the stream.
Bye, everybody. I might play follow.
Peace. Yeah, tune in. Hit the follow. No, when he goes live.
See you later. Oh, no. Look, Cass is now an OBS screen. He's become an OBS screen. Oh, I have to raid somebody. I need to raid, actually. There's no stopping this. The raid needs to happen. I forgot. Who's on? Who the fuck is on stream right now? Spinachi, easy Spinachi raid. Let's send you Spinachi away. Raid Nerd Andy. I can do that. We can take a Spinacci break. I mean, go watch Spinacci, obviously, but let's see who Nerd Andy is. I gotta make sure it's not like a just a giant butthole facing a webcam. It seems like a nice person playing Grand Theft Auto 5, so why not? Let's show Nerd Andy some love.